Please unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
These truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. The world is waking up, and this is the tipping point.
The tipping point.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Scott McKay. It is the 29th of March, 2021. I am your host tonight on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio. Folks, welcome to the show. If you're brand new here, you're going to learn very quickly. We don't pull any punches here. This is a full-throttle, high-octane truth hammer that rains down hellfire on every scumbag on the planet who is responsible for taking this country and this world in the direction that it has gone, to the benefit of the deep state powers, all the politicians, big tech CEOs, corporate heads around the world, the Vatican, all the royal families, anybody that's involved in any type of debauchery. The world's been set up for them to work in their favor, and it's been set up for you and I to fail and to lose. This show is a beginning of ending that nightmare that's been perpetuated on humanity for a very long time, and we do this week in and week out. This show is possible only for one reason, because Revolution Radio is a free speech platform that allows people like me to come on here every week and tell you the truth, how it's actually happening in the world, whether you like it or not. Even if you don't like the way we bring it, my intent is only one thing, and that is to allow you to know the truth. Because if you don't know the truth, there's no way to deal with it. You have to define the enemy before you can ever defeat the enemy. And that's why we're here. So this being possible is because of the listener around the world. People who make donations to Revolution Radio are the reason why we not only were able to launch this channel to survive, and then it grew into Patriot Street Fighter, which has become a worldwide movement of patriots in all countries to put their foot down and to stop the bullshit, quite frankly, that is being perpetuated on the citizens of their countries by the heads of state who were installed by their Khazarian mafia controllers, as they've been doing it for 1,400 years. They also control the central banks. They control anything and everything that has a play in your world of survival. Everything is controlled by these people. And you, my friend, are the hamster on that treadmill. But we fight, and we fight right here on the Tipping Point. So if you want to support this show and a number of other hosts out there who do tremendous work as well, on revolution.radio, you can easily see the donate button at the top. You click that on, make a one-time donation. You can click the orange button in the upper right in the middle of the page at the top. There's one at the bottom too. It's a patron button where you can create a free Patreon account and donate that way. And some people like to do snail mail like my pop does and just pops a check in the mail. There's a producer's address at the bottom, Terry Ackerman, where you can just write a check, drop it in the mail, send it out to that address, made out to Revolution Radio. And that all goes into the operation to keep this running. I, your humble host here, also donates to Revolution Radio as well, because it carries great weight and value in the world of free speech. I've never been kicked off Revolution Radio, folks. This is not my seventh Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, although we're on our ninth or tenth channel on YouTube. But quite honestly, in the very beginning, when I started to rain down hellfire on the scumbags, I'd get a knot in my stomach afterwards because I didn't like to hear what I sound like. I still don't. Sometimes I do shows on YouTube, same thing. I just have a knot in my stomach, and I wonder if I went too far. There's always some that think I do, but I'm doing it for the reason that needs to be done. Here in Revolution Radio, they just tell me, hold on, we're going back to get another gallon of gas. You don't get it. So they just dump it all over me, and it makes it times 10, because that's what Revolution Radio is about, folks. My two producers that helped me are Sir Pat Rabbit, and Patrick always gets a show off on time for me. Mr. Rowe, the mysterious Mr. Rowe, both have their channels here as well. Always gets me the recording to make a video for YouTube. Anyways, this stuff doesn't happen, folks. It takes a lot of time, personnel, a lot of dedication to carry on the dream of Nighthawk, who launched this a number of years ago. And here we are today, recruiting more people to join this battle of information warfare against the scumbags. So I'm always told, nope, don't pull back on the throttle, keep it going. That's why people come here. So anyways, a couple things we're going to talk about tonight. Just a quick brief update. We got a special guest coming on, by the way. And he is, I would call him the Canadian Patriot Street Fighter. He's out there in his country, taking on the powers that be, educating, refusing to be compliant. And they have a greater lockdown there than we do here. And he's educating people, walking through airports, everywhere else he goes, as he is non-compliant on what their rights are. And it's making a big impact because they've arrested him maybe once or twice. Could ask him the questions tonight because I didn't realize that. But he's making these selfie videos and showing people, look, this is what's going on. In fact, I think he had an event at his house. And I believe, I don't remember, we'll ask him about it, but I think they were like on this a parade or something. There was a parade. He's going to talk about it, where they were trying to shut down a parade. Ended up being that there's about 250 police officers that showed up to help direct traffic. They tried to shut the guy down. There's law enforcement out there who are part of the scumbag movement, who are physically accosting citizens, violating their rights, carrying out thug orders and the illegal, unconstitutional, and unlawful edicts and mandates by the criminal governors or mayors or people in whatever region. And these guys come out to enforce it, show up their badge and use it. Not a slight to law enforcement. I come from a military and law enforcement family. We have nothing but the highest respect, but not for the people like we saw up in Santa Barbara, Sergeant Spurlock, physically assaulting Dr. Judy Mikovits, taking her off of a plane because she was wearing a mask that is the only compliant mask for the disease condition. They wanted an asbestos-filled paper mask on her face, and she's being treated for lung cancer. That's what they were forcing on her. She refused. So they strong-armed her, twisted her arm, cuffed her, drug her off the plane, walked her down a long hallway, other side of the airport, where they could get away with the intimidation tactics they used on her out of the line of sight. They did everything outside of standard protocol so they could get away with their bullshit. Santa Barbara Airport Police Department. Just like the clown over in Galveston, same thing. Came in with his badge. I'm going to use it on the lady who was in Wells Fargo, put her to the ground. Same bullshit. Why? Trespassing private property. Really? If I have money in a bank, it is not private property. You got something of mine, and we have an agreement that I can come in there and get it anytime I want. It's not private property. It's all bullshit. This is what the world has got to stand up to. I don't know what it's going to take for some people to actually realize that we are under a further, more furious attack on our civil rights to put us down once and for all. I'm not just saying this, folks, to fill up a radio show. I can bring on speakers that can do that for 2 hours and just give me a break. I can sit back and have a beer and have a conversation. I'm telling you this because it is a reality. As I said before, the Great Awakening, as I once thought, was about showing us horrible shit. Everybody wakes up and says, oh my God, get the scumbags, kill them all. That it are involved in child satanic ritual abuse, murder, brutal sodomy, cannibalization, harvesting adrenochrome. The Great Awakening is not just that. It has to be perpetuated onto people who are totally pissed off, have had enough, and they're ready to start swinging their constitutional muscle at these scumbags that are trying to take freedoms away and destroy humanity to wipe out 90% of the world's population. People say that. We talk about it. Other people hear it. They think it's just good material for a show. I assure you, it is their plan. It's been intercepted by military intelligence. They not only have intercepted the mechanics of their operation, the other side has been telling us what we're going to do. Telling us. If you hadn't seen the show that was on a week ago Friday when we had Clay Clark, and he actually walked down through the Moderna site with us. Basically went to Revelation, started going through biblical scripture, and pointed toward a couple different places where you could simply Google search and you could see exactly what they're asking of us and what they're demanding of us and the fact that what is in this vaccine. It's astonishing. I mean, everything they've ever done, they put right in front of us. So we can get their de facto permission so they can carry forward. That's how the Satanists work. It must be some type of, who knows, cosmic agreement where extra-dimensional agreement, where for the Satanists to be able to do what they do, to be allowed by our God, is we have to give them permission to do it. Then if they do it, and we've permitted them to do it, then it's not considered an act against a human being, another spiritual being, or whatever. So how do they inform us, or how do they get our permission? Because they tell us, they show us. They put it in our faces, and we still do nothing about it. That becomes de facto permission. And what do? The same thing they've always done, destroy humanity, destroy lives, because they feed off of the low energy frequency of that misery. That's what it's all about. So in any case, their intentions have not changed. They're going to be able to go so far until we finally wake the hell up and say that enough is enough is enough is enough. And we start fighting back, showing up. I'm not just talking about showing up to polls, start to show up at board at council meetings, city council meetings, and school board meetings, and in mass telling people that you have elected there and pay their salaries to serve you. If they don't, tell them either do this or we're going to form recall petitions against every one of you and then go to work and run the scumbags out. That's the only way to handle this, but we have to get active. And I'm going to bring on our guest now because he has taken the fight right to the face of the enemy up in Canada. And I was actually alerted of him and his actions and work by the intel source I have called Overwatch. And they've been bringing me intel that probably isn't going to anybody else anywhere because the stuff that I've seen this far, been a small amount, but it's proved positive in, what should I say, influences that are happening on this planet to humanity from maybe dimensions that people don't necessarily easily believe, at least right away. So that being said, this gentleman, Christopher Sky, that we have on tonight, he has truly been taking the fight to the enemy. We're going to bring him on and we are going to introduce him. And I am going to pull off my headset here because I just want to go through speaker on the system here. So, Chris, are you there?
I'm here.
Awesome. It's good to have you, brother.
It's always a pleasure. How are you?
Fantastic, man. I'll tell you what, if I was going up against the guy and I was a milquetoast pussy politician up there in Canada and guy looking like you coming at me with that neck tat, I'd be like, give the dude whatever he wants, because on top of that, he looks badass, but he's got the brain of George Washington. I'll tell you what's in that Constitution, you dumb bastards. Let me straighten this out for you guys right now. I watched a video, dude, when it came to me and they showed me, it sent me a video that I need to pay attention to you. And I was like, pay attention. As soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, I'm getting him on the tipping point. Are you kidding? And you've done some badass selfie video stuff up there showing people how you've gone up against the powers that be. So we're going to talk about that tonight. So anyways, folks, I want to welcome Chris Sky to the tipping point army here. Chris, great to have you.
It's a pleasure. Like I said, I'm really excited, actually, because we need to expose everything that's going on.
Well, tell us.
I can give you the rundown from everything I've experienced with COVID from start to finish and all the initiatives I've started and all the things I've done to try to like turn the tide in our favor.
Well, let's learn a little bit about Chris himself, like, you know, where you come from, what career field path you've been on, all that kind of stuff. So we know a little bit about your background and what got you from the beginning of whenever to the point where you said, you know what, I have to stand up and fight.
Okay, well, I've been, the name's Chris Sky came from the company I work for and partially owns called Sky Homes Corporation. We're a low-rise residential develop, design, and build firm in Canada. So basically, we build subdivisions of houses for people. So I've been dealing with the government probably since I was about 19 years old. So I know exactly how the government works. I know their attitude. I know their methods. I know everything. So I've always been very skeptical of the government. I've always known about the deep state and the plans for like the one world government type thing with the digital currency and everything that we see happening now, basically. So it wasn't a surprise to me when all this was happening. I was even traveling virtually every month for the last 2 years leading up to this, trying to tell everybody that there's going to be a time coming up real soon where we're not going to be allowed to travel so easily, or if at all. And people thought I was absolutely batshit crazy, but I was just trying to warn everybody. So that was my background. My background comes from development and construction. So I work with a lot of different people. I work with private individuals. I work with business owners. I work with the government. I work with other authority figures. So I have a very wide knowledge base, and my skills are communicating with people. So when this whole COVID thing started, I was actually in Europe when this happened. I was on vacation, and I landed in Venice the day that they canceled Carnival, the big party in Venice that happens at the end of February every year since the 1700s, for the very first time. So I knew it was something kind of serious.
And you know, since the 1700s, they've had some serious killers out there,
exactly,
pathogens like, that have, yeah. And you know what? And they didn't even have the ability to you know, have different medical, whatever they would call medical solutions. They were using obviously a lot of naturopathic stuff back then, but they never stopped it until now.
They never stopped it for the friggin' Spanish flu, and that killed like 7% of the entire population. But for COVID, this new brand new disease that we didn't even hear about at that time, they've stopped the entire carnival. So right away, I had all these people calling me from Canada who were watching TV and talking about this outbreak in Venice and this crazy virus. And I don't watch TV because I know it's all fake. But so all these people are calling me. And meanwhile, I'm in Venice. I'm going to the gym. I'm shopping. I'm eating. I'm having like a normal vacay. And all these people are thinking the world is crumbling around me. So already I knew they were going to be blowing this way out of proportion. But I also knew that they were probably going to lock down Venice. So I escaped. I went to Florence. We spent a couple of days in Florence. And then I finished off my vacation in Netherlands and Paris, and COVID was basically just following me everywhere I went. I got back to Canada right at the beginning of March, and I immediately started warning everybody, I'm like, we're going to get locked the F down. I'm like, we got to stop. We got to talk to all the business owners. We got to warn them, because I knew before they did this, the number one target is going to be small businesses. And I am saying target because it's intentional. They want to close your business. They want to increase dependence on government. And in Canada, if you want to destroy the so-called middle class and break their back, you kill the small businesses. Canada has 1.15 million small businesses, which make up 70% of all our jobs. Let that sink in.
Yeah, you know, that's not even surprising. I mean, we're here in the United States, it's 80%. So, yeah,
it's a very similar thing. And both countries rely on entrepreneurship, rely on a free market economy, and that's exactly what they want to crush. Because if you own a business, you and everyone you employ is independent. You make your own money. You can say no to the government. The government serves you like it's supposed to. But as soon as they close down your business, and now in Canada, they gave you what they call CERB, which is basically COVID welfare. You guys had your COVID stimulus checks, same thing. But as soon as you're on that government dependency, the government no longer serves you. It rules you. And they can tell you things like take your vaccine or you're not going to get a paycheck. So right away at the beginning of this, I already saw a lot of bad stuff happening. I'd never been to a protest before in my life. I saw a flyer floating around for a protest in Queen's Park, Toronto. I'm not political, and let's be real, I don't believe this is political. This has nothing to do with left, right, Democrat, Republican, conservative, or liberal in Canada. No, no, this is about power versus us. And they want to create a new slave class where they're up here and we're down here, and we cannot challenge them perpetually for generations to come. So I went to this protest, and it was a ragtag group of like a couple hundred people, and nobody knew what was going on, nobody knew anything. And I saw our mainstream media show up. And they just started filming all the people that seemed weird, like people with weird colored hair, people that had vulgar signs. So I could tell right away they were going to try to pin this as a fringe movement, a racist movement, et cetera, anything they could to try to make it not catch on. So I got angry and I grabbed one of the CBC reporters. CBC is one of our so-called news agencies that's really funded by our government. Our government gives out over $600 million to our so-called news agencies. And then if you look at the news agencies and you watch TV, about 75 or 80% of all the ad revenue in Canada and the US comes from pharmaceutical industry. So when you watch TV for your info, you're kind of screwing yourself over, but we'll get to that. So we went to this protest and I grabbed the CBC guy and I said, why don't you interview someone that actually has something to say? And I got pissed and I did like a 3-minute blurb of what I thought was going on. And a whole bunch of people saw it and they said, okay, you got to speak at the protest. They tried to hand me a megaphone, and I was like, no, I don't want to speak. I don't want to be in the middle of this. I don't want to be center of attention. I don't want them coming after me, all of that. But I decided to speak anyway. So I spoke. A lot of people listened. So I became one of the major speakers of the anti-lockdown protest in Toronto. The very first thing I did was make a nonprofit organization called Back to Work to protect our businesses. And that's when I went and got this tattoo, by the way. This was my first thing.
What is it? What is that tattoo?
First of all, that's what everyone wants to know. It's Archangel Michael, a.k.a. leader of God's armies and protector of mankind. There it is. He's standing there with his sword, getting ready to do what he's got to do.
It's forking. That is forking badass, bro.
Not bad, right? And I got it done at a tattoo shop who was defying lockdown only a few days into our lockdown. We got locked down March 16th. This was like March 18th. So I went to his shop during lockdown, and the idea was to generate revenue for him so he wouldn't go broke. And that's what I did with my back to work thing. I had a program where I helped businesses reopen under the radar. And for business that wanted to go public, we had a legal team, a legal fund, and stuff that would help them. But I said on video, I'm not making this for the first wave. I'm not even making this for the second wave. And this was way back in like April last year. I said, I'm making this for the third wave next year, because I knew that's how long it was going to take for Canadians, who are the most compliant people on planet Earth, to finally realize that the so-called two-week shutdown after 52 weeks was going to have no chance of ending. And unless they actually stood up for themselves, their business was going to be closed. So from there, I kept going. and I created another nonprofit because back to work was my defense. So now it was time to go on the offense. So I created another nonprofit called Mothers Against Distancing, MAD. And this became a worldwide phenomenon as a grassroots educational awareness campaign to inform mothers and fathers about the psychological and physiological trauma that was being done to their children, especially in schools, in an academic setting over a prolonged period with all those social distancing measures, the mask wearing, everything else. They're keeping their children in a constant state of fear and anxiety, which is going to hamper their mental and cognitive development and limit their overall potential, 100% guaranteed. On top of that, wearing a mask 8-10 hours a day brings so many adverse health effects for a child that it's just ridiculous. And the best way to reach a mother and wake them up to this is to show them that their children are at risk. So MAD became extremely successful to the point where in about 4 or 5 weeks, I had over 30,000 people in the Facebook group, and Facebook has taken the group down over and over and over again. So we had MAD, we had back to work. Then they started trying to turn up the heat. So they started with these mandates. So then they became law in January in Toronto. They said, we're going to mandate masks everywhere you go. Me being the kind of person I am, I actually read the law. Imagine that. I opened it up and I read it. I read the fine print. And sure enough, I noticed we have these things called exemptions. And everybody's entitled to them. They can't ask you for proof. They can't ask you for a doctor's note. They can't ask you what it is. And they cannot deny you service in a private or public setting. So right away, I knew how to beat this. And that's what I was trying to do. Every time they come up with a new COVID restriction, I figure out the loophole and I inform people. So that night, I did a live chat with a woman named Letitia Montana, who had just went viral on Twitter for getting kicked out of a hospital for not wearing a mask. Her video got like four million views or something like that. So I announced with her on live that the next day, the day that masks became mandatory in Toronto, I was going to lead a protest on the TTC, which is our subway and streetcar and bus system. And I was going to show everybody that you don't have to wear a mask. So many people saw this live because of her that they started calling the mayor, the police, everybody to try to stop our protest from happening, to the point where Mayor John Tory, the most corrupt and ridiculous mayor of all time, maybe at least in Canada, he had to do a press conference and remind everybody that everything we were doing was completely legal and they would not be able to stop us. So the next day we did the protest. I brought over 100 people on the TTC, no masks, and we blew open the whole myth about having to wear a mask. That same week, I invented the first actual face mask exemption cards on real nice plastic. They look like a credit card. They look like they were issued by Health Canada. And we gave out tens of thousands of these to promote the awareness and let everybody know that you don't have to wear a mask. So that's how we started. Then the protests kept going. I got more notoriety. I started speaking all around the world. I ended up getting invited. We're going to fast forward to like September now because nothing had really changed between then and then. We just kept moving with our movement. It kept growing. More people were still asleep at this time. People are still scared of the government, scared of the virus. So then September came around, and I was privy to this UN document. I'm sure you've heard of it. I'm sure everybody, a lot of people have heard of it. It was floating around the internet. I received a copy of it. I'm sure you probably did from your sources. And it basically outlined the global lockdown rules with the 5 levels of lockdown and everything they planned to do. So I already knew what their plan was. I went to Ireland September 12th. September 20th in Ireland, they were supposed to open up. They're telling them that all they're going to open. The pubs are going to do this. September 12th, I spoke to 15,000 people. I told them about the 5-tier lockdown. I told them they're basically in level 2. They're being told they're going to go to level 1, which is still a lockdown, by the way. But I told them that, in fact, they're going to move them to level 3, lock them down again, and bring them all the way to the stage 5 lockdown, which is Australia style. Not allowed to leave your house, more than 500 meters, can't do anything. Basically complete 100% full grade Nazi style tyranny right at your doorstep. And the people at the protest believe me, that's why they're at the protest. But when I was out and about in the streets and just talking to people about it, a lot of people were just in denial because they love their pubs. They're just saying that their pub was going to open. So I actually stayed in Ireland until the 20th of September. And the day of the 20th, sure enough, they announced the 5 tiers. They announced their lockdown. And I went to the airport to fly home. And I never talked publicly about this, but I'm going to mention it now because people deserve to know. I went to the airport to fly home. And it was like about 4:30 in the morning when I got there because my flight, I believe, was at 6:30. It's actually 4 in the morning. I got there and my flight was 6:30. I was on KLM Airlines. They went to go scan me in. They scanned my passport, and I saw the whole computer crash. Oh, that's weird. So she went to the computer next, and she tried it over there. And now just a big error message came up. So they had no idea what was going on. They called the manager. Manager came, tried it on another computer. They kept getting this error message. They tried calling their tech department, which didn't open until 5 o'clock. So we had to wait for their tech department. When their tech department finally came in, they couldn't even figure it out until a senior tech guy came in at like 5:45. They found an encrypted and illegal electronic block on my passport. And they said it was put on there, but they wouldn't tell me who put it. They just said, we don't know how it got there. We know this is not legal. We can't tell you who put it there, but because you're on our flight and this isn't legal, we're obligated to remove it. Wow. And they said that it even had an encrypted message attached to it. So I said, can you tell me what the message said? They said, that we can tell you, but we can't tell you who wrote it. I said, okay, so what did the message say? The message said, anti-masker and add extra security. And then they put an electronic block on my passport, which I don't even know was legal. Thankfully, they removed the block and I got to go home. And I'd like to address the term anti-masker, by the way. It's worse than racist, it's worse than anything. Because first of all, humans are not meant to wear a mask. So if you wear a mask, you are a masker. If you don't wear a mask, you are what I like to call a human being. So let's just get rid of that term. They try to use it over and over again to try to, as a derogatory term, to discredit anything having to do with lockdown. Like closing of a business or having to do contact tracing or having to do forced quarantine has to have to do with wearing a mask. No, the mask is a small part of it. The mask is the progression. This whole idea that it's just a mask is the biggest propaganda, because the mask is the basis of all the other restrictions. People need to understand before we go any further that their end game is what they call the vaccine passport. Everybody has heard of it now. This was a plan way back in 2018. They published for implementation by 2021, a passport associated with vaccine implementation where you will not be able to travel unless you get vaccinated. That's what COVID's all about. That's what all these restrictions are all about. They're all about trying to get you to a point of despair and hopelessness where you will not just willingly accept, but happily accept the idea that you need this vaccine passport where they have the ability to inoculate you against your will multiple times a year with an experimental toxin as a pretense for you to live your life. That's their goal. That's what I was trying to make people aware of. So when I came back from Ireland in September, the police were well aware that I was away. They knew I was going to the protest September 26th. I'm supposed to be on that 14-day quarantine, but I wanted to challenge it publicly because I know it's a violation of our charter rights. In your country, it's a violation of your constitutional rights. But in our country, it's a violation of our charter rights, multiple charter rights. So I know it could never hold up in court. So I publicly said that I'm going to the protest with thousands of people on my quarantine. I don't care. The day before, they sent the police right to my front door to check on me for quarantine. Well, guess what, guys? I wasn't even there. I'm going to tell everybody right now. I was gone. I wasn't even close to the house, but I live on 5 acres. So I told those idiots that I was in the backyard and they were going to have to wait for me. So I drove over to my neighbor's house. It's like 3 houses down. It took me about a half hour to get there from where I was. Ran through the backyard, back door, out the front door, and said hi. First time I'm talking about this. Don't charge me for it. So I went up to talk to the police. They were very friendly, but they were trying to threaten me and said if I showed up to the protest the next day, they were going to arrest me. They were going to do this. I said, I hope you arrest me, because when I go to court and I file a multiple charter challenge against this and win, every other emergency order violation is going to get thrown out and everyone's going to know all this is smoke and mirrors and you guys are full of shit. They go, you better not do that. I go, well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm telling you. So do whatever you want. So the next day, sure enough, I went to the protest, which was at Yonge and Dundas Square. Now, we moved it from Queen's Park. This is the first time we were doing it here. It's the biggest square in downtown Toronto. I parked about 2 blocks away in a parking lot. The minute I got out of the car, I got swarmed by officers. They didn't even want to let me get close to Dundas Square. They didn't want to let people see that I was there. They tried to physically stop me from going. So I started filming my best friend. And I asked them, I'm like, what do you think you're doing? They go, sir, you're supposed to be on quarantine. You're not allowed to be here. I said, excuse me, quarantine's for sick people. I'm not sick. So I'm just fine. Are you going to arrest me? They said, no, we're not going to arrest you. I said, then I appreciate it if you get out of my way because I have a speech to make. So I went to the protest. I did my speech. And I talked about Ireland. I talked about the UN thing. I talked about where this was going. I warned everybody they were going to try to lock us down again before Christmas. I gave all that in the speech. All of a sudden, and our protests never have mainstream media, the CBC and other mainstream media showed up. As soon as they showed up, a police officer tapped me on the shoulder and issued me a fine. They made sure it was all on the media. They ran it on all the TV stations.
Did these guys, pathetic. These people are just, everything is staged.
Pathetic.
Everything is staged. These guys are forking pathetic cowards.
The so day, pathetic. Listen to how pathetic they really are. So I get the ticket, right? And I look at it. They misspelled my first and last name on the ticket.
Yeah, it's a technicality that throws it out of court.
They did that on purpose.
You know what? They did it on. Yeah. See, that's what I mean. Listen, Chris, I talk to our audience here every night about how full of shit these people are. They're so full of shit that every time they want the audience to believe something or lead the sheep in some direction, they fire up some cameras. They have a soundstage somewhere. They bring their minions in and they say their bullshit, or it could be a staged false flag. It could be anything. And so it, even in a live event that is organic and flowing, these bastards will still stage part of it to get a lie, to create a lie, to broadcast it to the zombie world, the zombie nation through the idiot box, and people actually buy into it.
Yep,
I'm so glad you're on here telling us this, because we'll have this thing will probably get 100,000 views by tomorrow. And that's just on this channel. And that's after this is the ninth channel we've had, right? They're typically 150K and they pull us down. But you know what? There are some guys, there's some digital soldiers out there actually doing the reproduction of my work, right? They'll get to 100,000 subscribers before I do on my own channel. They pumping this shit out all over the world. So all of you guys out there, digital soldiers that are doing it right, the way I tell you is acceptable with my free material, here's where the one you want to shell out everywhere around the world. You got to get this information out.
And we're just getting started.
Yeah.
So to embarrass them even more and prove how full of shit they really were, I took the ticket. I went back up on stage and grabbed the mic again. And I announced to everyone there that they gave me a fake ticket with a fake first and last name and filmed it just for the media, just to expose what you just said, how fake the media is, how they create an agenda. And I challenged the officers in public, in front of everybody, to come up there and give me a new ticket with the right name on it so I would be able to take this ticket to court. And guess what? They didn't. So guess what? I basically had to throw that ticket in the garbage. But the next week, we had another protest. And I was still on day 13 of my 14-day quarantine. So I doubled down and I went back. And this time, Mr. Rob Carbone from the Republican Party of Canada, which is a brand new political party that's going to be registered in a few months and going to be an absolute powerhouse in this country, and I will talk about it more later, he showed up, and so did Maxime Bernier, the leader of the People's Party of Canada. And the police saw us all together, shaking hands, taking pictures, embracing each other. You think they would have warned them that I'm some dangerous potential quarantine risk, right? Or you think they would have told them to isolate or quarantine? Of course they didn't. So I did my speech again, did my thing, went home. The next day, I got a visit from the police. They showed up at my house and they issued me a summons. They charged me criminally under the Quarantine Act. The first and only person in the history of Canada to be charged under this act criminally. I videotaped the exchange, and I noticed, guess what they did again? They misspelled my name again. Only this time I had it on video, and I said it. You guys misspelled my name. It's on video. I want you to spell it properly because I want to be able to take it to court this time. So I forced them to put it right so I could go to court. And over here, we don't have court right now. We have you have to call in, or you have Zoom court because of COVID. So they gave me a court date, and they told me the courthouse, but then they told me to do Zoom chat. So I figured, since I'm the first person in the country to get charged like this, I might as well be the first person in the country to embarrass the shit out of them. So instead of doing the Zoom chat from my house, I set up a Zoom chat on the courthouse steps with about 100 people, a mic, a big screen, and I was going to make a big production out of this court date. So I log into the Zoom chat, and you see the Crown and the prosecutor, or the prosecutor and the justice of the peace sitting there, and they're just like, they're flabbergasted. They see all these people, and they don't know what the hell to do. So they just cut the video feed. But I had the password, so I just logged back in. So they did that like 3-4 times. Finally, I called in. I said, what the hell's going on? I want my court date. I'm here. I want my court date. They gave me some rigmarole and told me they had to postpone it. surprise. Since that day, it's been postponed four times. I hired a lawyer specific, and I was representing myself because I wanted to embarrass them. But I hired a lawyer after the fourth time just so I could try to get him to force them to provide disclosure and force them to get a trial date, because I know if I get a trial date, I could beat them. But sure enough, they know the same thing, so they just keep postponing it and postponing it and postponing it, like they do with every emergency order ticket. Everybody that gets one of those fines, whether it was for breaching quarantine, whether it was for having their business open, whether it was for having a party, et cetera, none of those will hold up in court. They've given out hundreds of thousands of those fines. They will not hold up in court. If you take it to court and file and you just say you want to fight it, they either throw it out or they postpone it indefinitely. So that's what I exposed with that. Now, well, too many people are afraid of their quarantine anymore. So then they decided to up the ante. Sure enough, I did a speech. I did that same day on September 26th, I did a speech, a 2-minute little blurb with Rebel News, Andrew Says of Rebel News. And it was basically a prediction for the next 6 months. I talk about a lockdown. I talk about further restrictions. I talk about how after they force you to take the vaccine, they're still going to make you wear a mask. Basically, I tell you exactly what's going to happen to a T, to the point where that video went so viral. I've seen it translated into 7 or 8 different languages. I've seen it in about 15 countries, and I've seen multiple copies hit over 1 million views. So tens of millions of people watched that video, and that's what got me kind of like notoriety, and that's what got me a little bit more respect. Then New Year's came around. They introduced the new restrictions to really get us ready to accept that vaccine passport. And that was the forced testing and forced hotel quarantine at the airports. So now they tell Canadians, when you come home from a vacation, you got to pay $3,000 to spend 3 nights in a so-called COVID hotel where you're completely isolated from even whoever you traveled with, wait for a negative test result, then you can go home and quarantine. And you have to take a forced test where they shove that thing way up your nose. Absolute ridiculous, absolute insanity, absolute violation of our rights.
Let's talk about that, Chris, for 1 second before we continue on that airport thing. Most people don't know this. You probably do. But the whole reason that they're, look, whatever's going to, you know, whatever's going to be that far back in your nasal passage is going to be somewhere around the nares of your nose, right? They've always done that. But all of a sudden, this one virus wants to park itself right on top of the blood-brain barrier, where they go in there and they penetrate that blood-brain barrier and whatever's on those swabs, so they can get into that blood-brain barrier, make it either then or make it vulnerable to whatever they want to bring into your body, so it breaks the blood-brain barrier and gets into your brain, where the control mechanisms of their nanoscience is planted.
That's 100% accurate. Those swabs, and I can attest to this. I'll go off on a little tangent for a moment. In order to travel, a lot of places force you to get the COVID test before you go. In Canada, they offer a saliva PCR test where you can spit in a cup, so you don't get a swab up your nose, or you don't get a swab in your throat. I took that option to go to Turkey, and I thought I was going to get that option to come back from Turkey. When I was in Turkey, I realized they don't have that test. I was forced to do either a nasal swab or a throat swab, and they said they did both. So I got, and they come to your hotel and do it. And I was fortunate enough to see a girl get, they said they're going to do a nasal and throat swab on her. The guy took the swab, stuck it in her throat, took the same swab and stuck it in her nose.
Oh my God.
After sticking it in her throat, I almost puked. I couldn't believe it. I looked at them and I said, "You're not sticking anything up my nose, period." So they said, "Fine, for you, we'll just do a throat swab." So they took this little swab, and let's see, they pretend it's just a normal Q-tip, but I don't know about you, I've used Q-tips all my life, I've never had any problems. This guy stuck it way in the back of my throat and then pushed it to the back corner, basically like he was trying to plant something and hide it in there. It was so weird, like, why didn't you just stick it in the middle? Like, he went, like, out of his way to stick it in the corner. And immediately, I felt uncomfortable. Within 2 minutes, I felt, like, a weird reaction in my throat. I ran up to my room, I shone the flashlight down there, and I saw like a blister in my throat forming exactly where he had touched me. It was darkened in color. It was already puffy. And it was like almost the size of a friggin' pencil eraser. It was ridiculous. It was like a lump literally in my throat. I forced the hotel to call a medical clinic, made 2 doctors come to the hotel and examine me on video, which I posted on my Instagram. And I get them to admit on video that it's some kind of allergic reaction. I'm like, well then, what do they put on the swab that can cause such an allergic reaction? As soon as I said that, all of a sudden, no, it's not an allergic reaction. It was just a scrape. Sure, bud, sure. If you look at COVID tests, right on the box it says sterile, EO. EO is ethylene oxide. Ethylene oxide is at the top of the carcinogen list, cancer-causing chemicals. It is most dangerous when, get this, inhaled. So they sterilize, so-called sterilize, these things with a cancer-causing chemical that's very dangerous when inhaled, and then shove it up your nose right through your blood-brain barrier into your brain and pretend that they're not doing you any harm. And now they're trying to get you in a scenario where they're going to test you over and over and over and over again weekly until you get this vaccine. And every time you get tested, it's not good. And I'm going to tell you something I heard just today that I promised I wouldn't tell, but I'm going to tell anyway because too bad. I'm not going to give names, but this happened in Canada. A father tested positive for COVID, so his entire family went to get tested. The aunt went to get tested. They did a throat swab on her, and they put a hole in her throat somehow. And she got internal bleeding and died. This just happened in the last 2 days within Canada. And one of the family members, I'm not even going to say which one it was, contacted me and told me, but they didn't want me to go public with it. Well, I'm not going to give away your information, but I'm going to let everybody know what happened. So this person actually died from a COVID test. And then if you look at other videos online from Germany, from all these places, you have doctors and scientists taking COVID swabs and even masks and putting them under the microscope. And they're finding microscopic parasites, little worm-like creatures embedded in the swabs and embedded in the masks. And they do multiple experiments with these. And they're all over the internet. These are not fake videos. You can see them everywhere. Everywhere, multiple languages, all doing the same thing. So what the hell are they really putting in there? I don't know, but I'm trying to get my hands on some and I'm trying to get them tested. So let's bring us to what happened next in Canada. They decided that they're going to tell Canadians that you need to pay for your own forcible confinement. That's worse than being a slave. I know my rights. So I came home from Turkey and I decided I'm going to make a video to show Canadians, like I've been doing the whole time, how to get around their COVID restrictions. So I landed, I got my bags, I walked out to the airport, and they had the lineups for the testing and the lineups for the hotel quarantine, and the officers say, oh, you got to go do your thing. And why aren't you wearing a mask? Because I don't wear a mask anywhere, by the way. I don't wear a mask anywhere, and nobody else should. I have a medical note, so I don't wear it on the airplanes. I don't wear it in any country I've traveled. I've traveled to 4 continents during COVID, mask-free, and I'm still alive, people. So figure that one out. So I came off the plane, no mask. They immediately said, why aren't you wearing a mask? I said, because I don't need to wear one. I have a medical exemption. And in fact, I'm not taking your test or your quarantine because it's a violation of Section 6 of my charter rights. And it's a violation of 14.1 of the Quarantine Act, which is their emergency order. So I'm not taking either. And I'd like to go home. The police officers that overheard this were so flabbergasted, but in a good way. They liked that I was standing up. The rest of the people in the line, they had no idea what was going on. I tried telling them, if you're a Canadian citizen, if you're a permanent resident, you do not have to wait in that line. You do not have to take the test. You do not have to go to hotel quarantine. Just tell them, I'm not doing it. I'm a Canadian citizen. I have rights. 90% of the people that were in that line had just come off my plane from Turkey, and I was informed that they weren't, in fact, citizens or permanent residents. So I was kind of speaking to the wrong crowd, but it made sense for the video. So that video went ultra viral. It got over 800,000 views just from my Instagram page. And I only had 81,000 followers that night on my Instagram when I posted that video. That was February 21st. Now I have 191,000. Okay.
That's great.
And I got 800,000 views just from that video on that one copy. And it went viral everywhere. And since, hundreds of thousands of Canadians have been flexing their rights and avoiding the quarantine, avoiding the testing, and taking these stupid fines that are never going to hold up in court. So we made a huge impact there. And I did it exactly at the right time because I warned everybody about the vaccine passport. And their idea was get Canadians so traumatized with these hotels and these tests that when we tell them, oh, you can get a vaccine and get this special document so you won't have to do that, they'll all jump for it. And they would. So that's why I showed them, you don't need a vaccine or a vaccine passport. You just have to say that you're a Canadian citizen and you don't need any of that stupid shit. So, of course, the government wasn't happy about that. And I explained to everybody, and I want everybody to be very aware of this fact. they try to convince you that the people like me that are not complying with this are the reason it's prolonging. It's the exact opposite. They have an end game. It's the vaccine passport over here. They started you with the mask over here. And when you complied, they got you on contact tracing and quarantine. And when you complied, they closed your business. And when you comply, now you have forced testing and forced travel quarantine. And when you comply, they're going to have lockdowns and checkpoints. And when you comply, get it?
Holy cow. Chris, this is the best dissertation I've heard from the launch of this thing. This is the best I've ever heard. You just pointed that one thing out. You do this, right? If you do this, problem solved, right? You comply. But now it requires this, like you said, and you comply. Do this now, you comply. Do this. People keep complying with this bullshit. And they're walking it. They're walking. Here's the thing. You might as well just walk your way right into the gas chamber. I never understood why you had lines of people in Auschwitz or in Germany. If these things happened, how could you have a line of people watching folks walk into a building? They know what's going on in that building, to not just turn and attack and in mass overtake a number of the guards. There's always way more prisoners than there are guards, right?
Compliance.
Compliance.
People are trained to be compliant. This is not an accident. This has been trained into people for decades mm-hmm. and decades. Not to say no, especially to somebody with perceived authority. Follow the rules. That's what they tell you. So the moment you don't comply, they can't move on to the next phase. They can't get you to the vaccine passport. So I've been trying to get people not to comply. How do we do that? We get everybody together. Doesn't matter your age, ethnicity, social status, whether you're law enforcement, military, civilian, criminal, government, etc. We all have rights. They matter to every single one of us, and we all can agree that these rights are essential. So we have to come together in one voice and do what I call united non-compliance. Say that again.
United non-compliance.
I came up with that last April, and it rings truer now than it ever has. If we united in one voice and took off our masks tomorrow, this would be over. If we united in one voice and opened our businesses, this would be over tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute you comply, they move you on to the next agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got the vaccine. The vaccine is absolutely terrifying. We'll talk about it for a minute. First of all,
we've got about 6 minutes before we break. I'm going to give you a heads up ahead of time. So whenever we break, we'll kind of segue out of that, take a break for the commercials or whatever, and then we'll be coming back in. It probably takes like 3, 4, 5 minutes, but I want to give you a heads up so we know where your sort of transition is to wind that, so we can keep the flow of this information going.
Perfect. So we're going to touch on the vaccine real quick right now. Some questions you should be asking and why you shouldn't take it. And before we hit the break, hopefully I'll talk about my Just Say No movement and we'll start the next one.
We got the backside of a whole hour. No rush here, man.
Perfect. So this vaccine comes about, and it's not a vaccine. The definition of a vaccine is a substance that prevents you from getting the disease and a substance that prevents you from passing that disease on to others. The mRNA injection, which is not even a vaccine, it's called an operating system, a program for your body, does not prevent you from getting COVID, and it does not prevent you from passing COVID on to others, which is why they tell you you still need to wear a mask after inoculation.
By the way, if you go to Moderna's site, you're exactly right. Clay Clark pointed this out. You will see Moderna calls it MOS. The vaccine is Moderna Operating System.
That's right.
Doesn't say vaccine. It's an operating system. They're programming your body.
The reason they call it a vaccine is because that's how they can get it passed without actual clinical trials.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they can get it passed with so-called emergency approvals. And that's how they can get it put on a special tangent without other things, because otherwise they would have to classify it as a treatment. And we have multiple treatment options. So you would be able to choose your treatment option. But by classifying it as a vaccine, now it's a special treatment. And now they don't need clinical trials. Now they don't need actual FDA approval. So they have this concoction that's never been used before on humans, never been used in vaccination. They have no liability if they kill you or hurt you. Your insurance company may no longer cover you after you get inoculated.
Mm-hmm.
there is absolutely no short-term or long-term safety or efficacy data. They have no idea what will happen if you take multiple shots. Meanwhile, virtually all your doctors are telling you it's safe and they're recommending it for your consumption. I would like you to ask them, if it's safe, can you tell me, will it kill me, make me infertile, cause seizures, or any of that, short-term or long-term? They won't be able to answer you because there is no data. So how can they tell you something is safe when they have no idea? It's an agenda, people. And the vaccine, first of all, Moderna has never even made a product for humans before. Their only product they ever started making was an mRNA injection that was supposed to be a cancer treatment alternative to chemotherapy. And then they just transformed that technology into a so-called vaccine. And it's the first product they've ever made or tried to distribute for humans, ever. And we're allowing them to use an experimental technology, an experimental vaccine with no liability, no FDA approval, no past clinical trials, and only emergency authorization declaration for use, which keeps them completely liable. And here's another thing. Because it's an emergency approval, they can only utilize it under emergency conditions. So they will not give up this state of emergency for years, because if they do, they can no longer use the vaccines. So for people who think that they're going to release these restrictions or end this emergency, they have no intention, zero. The moment they do, they can lose all the powers that they've gained. They lose all the rights that they've taken from you, and they won't even be able to vaccinate you. So get it through your head. The emergency is here till at least 2023, at least. And they have no intention of letting you up. So that's this vaccine. And we want everybody not to take it, because if they get 75% compliance of the vaccine passport's a reality. In fact, the vaccine passport's already a reality in New York, the very first place in all of North America to implement it. It goes into effect April 2nd. So for anybody who's still calling me a conspiracy theorist, time to pull your head out of your ass and realize reality is here. So how do we stop them from getting the vaccine passport? You stop people from getting vaccinated. How do you stop people from getting vaccinated? You make them ask questions on a global scale. How do you do that? You create a global worldwide movement. How do you do that? Just get Chris Sky to come up with a fancy hashtag. So I created the hashtag Just Say No campaign. And we're getting everybody to make videos, posts on their social media that say, just say no to the COVID vaccine. And that hashtag.
I think we just about right now. Let me listen. Here's our music for the break. Hold on to that. We're going to promote the hell out of that, my friend. We'll be back after this in a few minutes, folks. Scott McKay, The Tipping Point, Revolution Radio.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and also the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind.
Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott McKay coming here back at you for the second hour of the Tipping Point. We have a great guest on tonight. This is Chris Sky. I call him the Canadian Patriot Street Fighter. He is out there taking the battle right to the cabal players that are being paid off by the we can name 13 to 20 people that are paying him off, but he knows that there's a filtering down process of the money and the power, and it's coming right from the top. But he's starting right at the bottom, launching a grassroots campaign to teach his country, Canada, to start fighting back, and it's having a massive impact on what's happening up there. And I think it's serving as a blueprint for what the Americans need to be doing down here. And I'm really happy to have you in. So let's pick up right where we left off and just fire away and continue that point, my friend.
Will do. But before I even get going, I'm going to talk about what you said. You called me the Canadian Patriot Street Fighter. What I'm trying to do is make all Canadians and Americans Patriot Street Fighters.
Well, that's exactly.
Empowering them with the knowledge of their rights, mm-hmm. how to apply that knowledge, and how to come out of it with the only consequence of their action being retaining their freedoms. It's that simple.
Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you this. We actually have a very large Patriot Street Fighter following in Canada as well, 40 countries. And you know why it grew so much? Because I just said, look, I'm not the Patriot Street Fighter. Of course, that's how I'm known. But I'm like, you're the Patriot Street Fighter. All you people are Patriot Street Fighters. And we are coming alive out of the woodwork, off the couch, out of the house, to start fighting these corrupt bastards, all the heads of state around the world, all the criminals that always tell us they're going to make the world a better, safer, more beautiful place to live in. They've only had control of this shit for 1,400 years, and look what the world keeps descending into. Now it's time to throw all their asses out, and that's getting the Patriot Street Fighters worldwide on their feet, coming out just like the Yellow Vest protests and all that stuff happening throughout Europe. They had these clowns on the brink, and what they do to shut it down? They launch COVID to stop all the protests and gathering, but it didn't stop you.
No, it didn't. It just made me. It just empowered me. They picked the wrong time, they picked the wrong country, and they picked the wrong guy to f with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know what I can get away with saying on here, but let's pick up where we left off. So we need to stop this vaccine passport, which is their end game for now. It's not their end game per se, because after the vaccine passport comes the digital identity, which we already have in Canada, by the way. For all you Canadians that don't know this, January 2021, your ID went digital. It's there. You still have your little driver's license, but now there's a digital version of it, and they're going to merge that with your vaccine passport. So at that point, once you get your vaccine passport, it's not just going to be for travel. It'll be for work, going to a concert, going to a hockey game, football game, etc. Whatever you want to do, you're going to have to show your phone, scan it, eventually scan yourself when they get what they really want. Mm-hmm. And if you're clean and your vaccine's good, then you'll be able to go. And if you also didn't know, they've already made plans to introduce a digital currency. And guess what that's going to get linked to? It's going to get linked to your digital ID and your vaccine passport. And eventually, if you're not up to date on your vaccines, you won't even be allowed to access your digital wallet. And then when they got you on that level of control, because our wonderful Prime Minister Trudeau is on the record saying how much he admires China's dictatorship and their ability to do whatever they want against their people's best wishes and will, you will get a electronic digital social credit score, all attached. So you're going to have your vaccines, your identification, your bank account, all linked to this social credit score. So then if you're doing bad things like taking pictures of people like Chris Sky or the Patriot Street Fighter, your credit score drops and you start losing your privileges, like being able to travel internationally and then eventually domestically, and then lose the privilege of work, and then lose the final privilege of being able to access your own money. So they can basically shut you down with the flick of a switch, and they own your ass from cradle to grave. That is the plan. That's where this is headed. And the implementation of the vaccine passport is what they're after right now. So we said, how do you stop the vaccine passport? You got to stop people from getting vaccinated. How do you stop people from getting vaccinated? Simple. You make them ask questions. If you look in the United States, there's all these videos telling Americans, don't ask questions, just stick out your arm. Have you seen that video?
No.
Okay. I'm sure you'll be able to find it after. It's an official, I can't remember who she is. She's a black woman. And she starts lambasting Americans for daring to ask questions. I don't want to know what's in the vaccine. I'm not going to ask what's in it. I'm just going to give my arm. Don't ask questions. Well, we're telling everyone, ask questions. So we came up with the Just Say No campaign. Why did I choose Just Say No? Because it's programmed into every single person's subconscious on this planet. So it resonates. Number two, we need to teach people how to say no to supposed authority when it's not in their best interest. So it works for that. Number three, it's just a nice catchy hashtag that works perfectly with Just Say No to the COVID vaccine. So we got people to start making videos. I started with the first one. And guess what? In about 72 hours, I saw Just Say No posts on 5 different continents.
That's that is awesome, man.
So they're definitely not happy, because all it does is get people to ask questions. The more people ask questions to their doctor, like, hey, is this thing going to kill me? And the doctor looks at you and says, well, it shouldn't. People are going to be inclined to take the vaccine. It also raises the awareness of the vaccine passport and then gets people asking more questions, and they get into the idea of realizing everything else I talked about with the digital currency and all the other control mechanisms. So basically, by getting this global movement, it's an awakening. How do we wake the people up? We need to change their perception. This is the very important thing that I want everybody to realize. You're getting your information, I have to put it in quotes, from your television, 95% of you, and your government. These people are lying to you. You're under the perception that everything they're telling you is for your safety and therefore your benefit. And what you need to understand, we need to alter people's perceptions just slightly. because when they're under that perception that everything that's happening is for their safety and they believe everything that's going on, guess what? They're terrified. They're terrified of the virus. They're terrified of the government. They're terrified of their neighbor. And when you're in a constant state of fear, you're basically paralyzed. You can't act. You won't do anything. You'll literally just sit there and wait to be told what to do next. And that's exactly what they want. They want a compliant, unquestioning, unthinking drone that will be told what to do to their own detriment. But as soon as you alter their perception with a tiny little thing called the truth, and you see that it's not about your safety, it's about control, then the people will no longer be paralyzed by fear. In fact, the people start getting angry. And the more they get exposed to this propaganda, the more angry they will get and the more willing to act they will get. And once they are awake, they cannot go back to sleep. So the best way to show somebody how this is not for really for their safety and really for control is to give them an example of one of the so-called restrictions put in for our safety and show how it makes absolutely no sense from a lens of safety. But when you put it through the lens of permanent control, it makes perfect sense. Let's take the quarantine hotels, for example. They say it's for your own safety that you have to pay $3,000 to get a COVID test, get on a bus full of potentially sick people from the airport, go to a government facility full of potentially sick people, wait for your COVID test result, and then ultimately go to your house to quarantine the final 12 or 13 days. They say you're safer doing that than if you just go home from the airport by yourself to your house by yourself and quarantine by yourself. So obviously, you're not safer. So obviously, that would never hold up in court, because in order for them to violate your rights in court, they have to prove they have justification. They have to prove they have no other way. There's no justification there. And obviously, there's another way. Just go home and you're much safer. But however, look at through from a lens of control and wanting to make you afraid. Makes perfect sense now, doesn't it? And there's a gazillion examples we can go through, but we don't need to. We need to make people understand that that's what the problem is. It's fear, and it's their perception that this is for their safety and for their own good. In reality, it's about control.
Chris, and if you have any other examples in the back of your head, go ahead and throw them out, because these are the things. Anything you have that's relatable to other people's scenarios, maybe some people don't travel. Anything else, just in your dissertation here, throw it out.
Okay. It's not safe for the single mother who has a salon with two chairs in it to have one or two customers in there, but it's perfectly okay for lineups at Walmart and 500 people to be in Walmart.
There you go.
That's a perfect example. Oh, here's an even better example. You have to wear a mask, you have to quarantine, you have to have travel restrictions, but the government officials who made these policies are exempt from those policies.
As every other law that they've ever passed in Congress in Washington, D.C. Same shit. They don't abide by anything. Yeah.
So you need to wear the mask for your safety. You need to quarantine for your safety, but they don't.
Never.
Ever.
Unless the camera's running. We saw plenty of instances at the White House with the press corps when Trump was in front of the press. Sometimes they'd get somebody with a camera or a phone or something. They would actually get video footage of all the clowns, all the hyenas, all the scumbags in the media standing around bullshitting. They're just talking amongst themselves, no mask, ready to start filming. Boom, they all strap their masks on and then they go. Same shit.
It's all for smoke and mirrors.
Yep.
Here's another perfect example. How about conflict of interest? Okay, so we already have, that's complete conflict of interest, and that's ridiculous because it's one rule for them and another rule for you. And they're the ones making the rules. So if you don't see the conflict there, you're insane. Then we have people like our premier, Doug Ford. He's also coming after me personally, and we'll get that next. Him and John Tory have been plotting against me for quite some time, the mayor and the premier, and the premier is basically like your governors. So he owns a so-called essential business called Deckel and Label. It's a consumer packaged goods business. So he does all the packaging for all the products for grocery stores, places like Amazon, Walmart. So his business is booming. The other part of his business, get this, this will make you sick to your stomach, makes the stickers for the floors, all the social distancing stickers. So imagine you're a politician, you put in a policy that makes every business in the country have to buy your product from your store while you're closing their business down and keeping your business essential and open. He also has an office in the United States, by the way. So he has shipping coming in from different countries, which also increases COVID possibilities. So there you go. That's multiple examples that show this has nothing to do with your safety and everything to do with controlling you. And if you still have any doubts, you're crazy. Now, let's talk about their methods of attack on us, because this is also very important. We already established that they use fear to control everybody. So they disseminate lies and propaganda from the, as many sources as possible. Why? Because people intrinsically know the truth. I did a roundtable with David Icke. It was absolutely fantastic.
He's amazing. That guy's got balls, man. What a courageous guy.
His son is amazing, too. They're both amazing.
Really?
And we touched on the heart chakra. And that's about how when someone hears the truth, it resonates. They only have to hear it one time from one place. So they're telling these lies over and over and over from so many different angles. And then someone like me comes along and just tells the truth. And it hits them here. And it wakes people up. And once they're awake, they can't go back to sleep. So they can start waking other people up. So it's a very powerful weapon. And that's the virus they're really afraid of. It's called truth, because it infects people worldwide. And there's no cure for it. So that's what, how we're waking people up. But, and we know that their method was lies and fear to get the people scared and compliant. But what about for the people that that doesn't work on? People like you, people like me, people that don't get afraid, people that are immune to the lies and propaganda. That's when they use division. And they divide society in as small segments as possible, because every time your voice gets weaker, your attack less potent. So how do they divide society? Let's link it down. First of all, the people that are scared of the virus versus people that aren't scared of the virus. Mask wearers versus non-mask wearers. Essential versus non-essential. People collecting welfare, CERB, stimulus checks versus people who are not. They tried to have racial tension. In the States, we saw riots everywhere. In Canada, we laughed that shit off because we're so multicultural, so ingrained, and there's absolutely no racism here. So they tried that and it absolutely went nowhere. Then they tried the whole defund the police movement, which is absolutely ridiculous. Because what are they going to replace the police with if they defund them? The police are an integral part of your community. Their kids go to the same schools as you. Their friends own the same businesses that are getting shut down. The majority of cops are not happy with what's going on right now. You need them on your side. They are your last line of defense against this tyranny. If you defund them and disarm them and disband them, what, you think there's just going to be no security force? No. Your government's going to bring in PMCs, private military contractors, aka mercenaries, from places like Bosnia that hate Americans, that will kill men, women, and children for fun, have absolutely no ties and no loyalty to the community, and are only loyal to the state that is paying them. That is what you will get replaced with. So, do you really want to defund the police? No. There's a movement in Canada called Stand on Guard for Thee. I want to plug them because they're a great movement, and I want them to friggin' get the balls to go public. It's a group of active and retired law enforcement and military, tens of thousands of them, and their number one oath is to our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, as it's supposed to be. And they do not want these emergency orders. They've actually filed injunctions against the emergency orders, and now we're asking them to hopefully stand with us now that their numbers are strong enough. But we need the police on our side. And for the police that aren't on our side, what have they done? You heard what happened to me, right?
No, let's hear it.
Okay. So after I did the Just Say No movement, after I've done everything I've done, I've been the biggest advocate against this. I have a lot of police support, by the way. I want to get that out of the way. I forgot to mention, in December, before they fully put us into lockdown, we were in so-called gray zone lockdown, we have the Santa Claus Parade in Toronto. It's the biggest event every year. It brings joy to the children. It brings community togetherness. It's amazing. They canceled it way back in October. I went live and challenged the government and said, we are going to do a Santa Claus parade. We actually created a Facebook group with the three main protest groups, my MAD group, Hugs Over Masks, and The Line. And we had thousands and thousands of members. And then basically through back channels, I got wind that the government was going to plan to arrest me, charge me with some kind of bogus terroristic style charge, and hold me without bail until my trial. So basically, I'd be locked up for 3, 4, up to 6 months before I could get a trial. The trial would be bogus. I would get it thrown out, but they would take me off the board, as so they put. So that's what they said. Long story short, they took our groups down and they tried to kill the whole Santa Claus parade. We pushed back. We ended up coming to an agreement that I was going to do the parade, but I couldn't promote it with my groups. Fair enough. We didn't care about that. We just wanted a parade for the people. So somebody, an anonymous group, created a website called the santaparade.ca. We did a toy drive We got hundreds of toys donated to give out to the kids. We had set up a Santa Claus place where they could take pictures with Santa. I used the same float makers that make the actual parades for the Santa Claus parade. And for weeks before, they were doing everything to try to kill it. Toronto.com wrote an article saying it's a fake Santa Claus parade. It's illegal. Don't go. You're going to get arrested. They forced the Toronto Police Service to write on their official Twitter that people would get ticketed and even arrested if they attended the parade. Meanwhile, on the day of the parade, which started at Yonge and Dundas Square, the busiest, largest square in all of Toronto, probably all of Canada, and Yonge Street is the single longest street in North America, the police were 100% in support. We had over 250 officers block off every single street from Yonge and Dundas all the way north to Yonge and St. Clair on both sides. They gave us an active police escort for the parade, and they showed solidarity with the people in violation against the mayor's orders, the premier's orders, the prime minister's orders. Why? Because they knew it was right. So we need the police, people. We need them on our side. And by the way, of course, I got charged for that. I got charged a lot of things. If you guys want to know everything I got charged with, we can go through that real quick. So people know I actually have skin in the game.
Yeah, we're going to go through that, actually. But, you know, here's the thing. We're not seeing that here in the United States yet, which is kind of astonishing to me, because what I hate is I've got to beat up on some of these cops that are doing what they're doing. And it makes it look like we're against law enforcement. I said before, I'm from a law enforcement family. In fact, it has always been for me, probably for the last 20 years, at least, when I see a police officer, I always tell them, thanks for serving. Coming in a store, out of a store. I don't care how far I'm walking across an airport. I see somebody in uniform, military, otherwise. It's always been that way with me. Walk over, thanks for serving. And I'll tell you, probably for about 10 years after 911, that was a big deal to a lot of police officers. When the Dallas five cops were assassinated with a high-powered rifle, all that kind of stuff. And I'd always let them know, hey, you know, a lot of people out here back you. We got your back. They appreciate and they love that. These are good people, good men and women on the force. Unfortunately, 100%. It's a few of these, I call them milquetoast pussies, because they easily fall in line with the mayors and all these other scumbags that are ordering these illegal edicts and dictates that have no constitutional power to stand up in court. But exactly. So those guys, I'll beat the shit out of them every day of the week when I get a chance to. And we do on this show. We out these people to everybody here.
100%. That's what everyone needs to understand. You need to back the blue fully, but you also need to hold the bad ones accountable. Just because you back the blue, it doesn't mean they're all good.
Yeah.
But I have to allude to the Toronto Police Service, because honestly, I believe they're one of the best police forces in the entire world. In the summertime, we ended up making a deal together, and they allowed me to throw parties, all-night rave parties on the Cherry Beach that went till 6 a.m. And we did it for week after week after week. The only thing that stopped us was the cold weather in Canada. So at first they were told by the mayor and the premier to shut me down. The first 2 weeks they tried. They sent like 30 cops, 30 bylaw officers, literally an army. But I stood strong. They ended up calling me. I got all their phone numbers, and they ended up calling me the next week. And a sergeant from 51 Division said they were going to make a deal, and they were going to treat our party as an extension of our protest. So every week, and I have these on my Instagram for proof, I was getting an edict sent from the city of Toronto, basically telling me all the laws I'm breaking and all the things they're going to charge me with and blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, the whole time I'm having the complete support of the Toronto police that are basically acting as our private security until 1:30 in the morning. And then they would give it over to my own private security that they allowed me to hire. And we'd have the parties till 6 a.m. And from 6 to 9, people would clean up the beach like we were never there. So thanks to our Toronto Police Service, in Toronto at least, I helped make life almost normal. We had our parties all summer. We had our Santa Claus parade. On Halloween, there was a warehouse party, and we weren't allowed to have more than 10 people in the warehouse. And someone called the police. However, the police made one mistake. They didn't know I was at the party. And it's funny that you have the little Punisher thing there, because that was what I was dressed at that night. So they locked the doors on everybody, and they had all the cops waiting outside, and they sent me out by myself versus the cops with one cameraman. And as soon as the police saw me come out, they knew their night wasn't going to be very easy. And guess what happened? They came to shut down the party. They were saying, under no circumstances would this party happen. Guess what happened in the end?
They had a beer with you.
They made a deal with me. They brought bylaw there. I literally brought the police and bylaw into the party, walked them through everything. So they saw that there was over 100 people in there, And instead of giving us a fine, they opted to give me an educational awareness talk and then left and let the party go on. So police support the people, and you need to support the police, because we had all our major holidays covered. Why? Because we had the support of the police. If we did not, we wouldn't have had those parties in the summer. We wouldn't have had that Halloween party. We wouldn't have had the Santa Claus parade and all those children happy. And so what? I got charged. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I got lots of charges against me. None of them are going to hold up in court.
How many you have? How many do you have, Chris?
Okay, let's go through. So in October, I was scheduled to fly to East Coast of Canada. They wanted me to go to a protest in Moncton, New Brunswick. I'd never been there in my life. And I said I was going to go because I knew a couple of the people at the protest that were throwing it. As soon as I said I was going, it got really large. People were very excited because I'd never been to this part of Canada before. So the police decided they're going to try to step in, and they killed the Facebook group. Another one popped up, and then all of a sudden, Halifax was like, oh my God, Chris Sky is going to be in Moncton? Let's get him in Halifax the next day. So now I had two shows. I was supposed to be at a rally in Moncton on Saturday and a rally in Halifax on Sunday, the very next day. I tried to fly into Moncton. As soon as I landed, they didn't even let the plane get to the jetway. They stopped it on the runway short of the jetway. They brought the little friggin' staircase, and four RCMP officers came on the plane, put a mask on me in front of everybody after they handcuffed me behind my back. I tried to take the mask off by rubbing it against the seat. They put it back on, and they arrested me. When they got me into the police car at the actual airport, I literally bought the cuffs underneath just so I could rip the mask off. And when I did, they dragged me out of the car and beat the crap out of me right at the airport in front of like 100 people. They didn't care. They brought me to, it was Thanksgiving weekend. So their plan was to lock me up and keep me there till Tuesday because I wouldn't be able to go to court or get a bail hearing. They gave me some bogus charge of causing a disturbance just so they had a reason to arrest me. It was basically justified kidnapping. Thankfully, while I was in jail, somebody made a phone call on my behalf, and they were forced to release me after about 67 minutes. They had to give me a escort right back to the airport, and they had to force Air Canada, who I'm currently in litigations with, to let me on a plane and fly back to Toronto. So the whole episode ended up being only a couple hours after they intended on having me locked up. And I had those charges that I was supposed to face in court on January 26th. Tell me if you've ever heard of anything like this. And by the way, our RCMP is the equivalent to the American FBI. So imagine the FBI just comes and grabs you off a plane. So that's what happened to me. So they call me. One of the arresting officers calls me on my cell phone, January 16th, 8 o'clock in the morning. I pick up. I had no idea who it was. They call me to apologize and tell me that they're dropping all the charges. They're sorry for everything that happened and that they're going to be sending me. They made me pay a $500 recognizance fee. They said they're going to be sending me my money back. I couldn't believe it. I thought that was hilarious. So that was the first time I got charged. I got the quarantine violation September 26th. I got another quarantine violation, the criminal one, where I'm the only person charged criminally in the history of Canada, October 7th. I got charged for the Santa Claus parade on December 20th. I don't even know what that charge is. I still have to go to court and see what they're going to try to do. They don't even know. They're literally making it up as they go along. It's so ridiculous. It's hilarious. And then on January 23rd, they made an emergency order on top of the emergency order. And now it basically took away the rights to protest in Canada. So anytime someone would go to the protest and try to speak, they would arrest them. So January 23rd, I went down to where everyone was protesting. And I said, don't protest, don't speak. They're going to try to arrest you. I'm like, let's just go for a walk through downtown Toronto. That's legal. So thousands of people started going for this walk through downtown Toronto. What did I do? I took hundreds of them through various downtown Toronto stores in the swankiest neighborhood, going mask-free shopping with like eight different cameramen filming so everybody could see. They sent cops to every store, but they couldn't do anything because we were not in violation of any laws. In fact, if the store refused us, they would be in violation of the law. So it caused a huge shitstorm everywhere. The whole city was under our control, basically. So after all that happened, everyone was done for the day. I went to go back to my car. And sure enough, as soon as I unlocked my car, I got swarmed by like 20 cops. They arrested me. They charged me with four counts of public mischief, some bullshit, and one count of common nuisance. They arrested me. They locked me in a paddy wagon for like 4 hours, which is completely illegal. So I told them I want out of this goddamn paddy wagon. Guess what they did? They took me out and put me into another one. So now I got pissed and I had my construction boots on. So I started kicking the door to break it and make noise just to piss them off. So they came out and said, stop doing that. You're annoying. I'm like, that's the whole point. I want the fuck out of here. And I know you have no reason to keep me in here. So they put me in a garage, dark and cold, and they left the paddy wagon in there. And they said, you can make all the noise you want. They were watching me on camera. They wouldn't let me out. They thought they're going to basically keep me in there all night. So I told them, it's been 5 hours. I got to pee. If you don't let me out in 5 minutes and you're treating me like an animal, I'm going to act like one. I'm going to pee all over your paddy wagon and you guys can clean up after me like a dog. I counted down the 5 minutes. I gave them a 30-second grace period. And like I always do, I put the cups in front of me so I could sit comfortably and I could pull down my pants. So I pulled down my pants and I pissed all over their paddy wagon. I drained every drop I could. Sat back down, looked at the camera. I said, in another 5 minutes, I think I got to take a dump. They got me out of there in 30 seconds. But they tried to put, listen to the conditions they gave me of release. Three separate conditions. The first condition, banned from the city of Toronto and the surrounding area. Not unconstitutional at all.
Yeah, and what exactly? How do they first of all, how do they define the surrounding area, number one? Number two, totally ambiguous.
They literally gave streets and said, you can't be east of this street. You can't be south of this street. So ridiculous.
This is the stuff that pisses me off so much, to listen to this absolute illegal and unconstitutional arrest and treating you like, I'd be filing a fork and lawsuit against these bastards. Oh, dude, I hope you are. I hope you are. I hope you are. I hope you're talking $10 million.
I have no idea what's coming their way. So that was condition number one. Guess what condition number two was? For bringing people into a store without a mask and shopping. I had to give up all my firearms legally owned. And yes, we can't have guns in Canada. I have AR-15s. I have even a LaRue Tactical 7.62 OBR sniper rifle, which is very hard to get in Canada. I'm probably one of the only people that has it. But yes, they told me I have to give up all my guns, bow and arrow, crossbow, everything up to a friggin' butter knife. I haven't committed any crime. I have no record, never done anything violent. So I was like, wow, that's ridiculous. And the third one was I have to abide by the emergency orders, which sounds ominous, and I didn't really think about it at the time. So right when I got out of jail, right out of jail that night, I got my lawyer to contact the Crown, and they got the first two conditions removed right away, within 24 hours, because obviously even the Crown said, this is ridiculous, this is unconstitutional, and it would be embarrassing for that for the Crown even to bring it to court. So they rescinded it. But the third one they kept on me, the emergency order one, and that sucks, and I'll tell you why. So now that they got me under the condition I have to abide by the emergency order, when I came home from Turkey, for instance, and they tell me I got to do the 14-day quarantine, if I don't have that condition and I breach the quarantine, all they can do is give me one of those green tickets with an $880 fine that I'll fight in court and I'll win, so I won't care. But because now they put me on this condition, if I leave the house, they'll charge me with a breach of my condition, which is a criminal offense with up to 18 months in jail. And because I'm already on bail, they'll also try to make the case that I shouldn't get bail, so they'll be able to hold me till my trial. And I haven't done anything wrong. So see how they use the emergency orders to get you into the system, so then they can try to put the specialized conditions on you to now charge you with real criminal charges. And it also prevents me from going to the protests and speaking, because they can say now I'm violating an emergency order. And they can come and arrest me just for my freedom of assembly or my freedom of speech. So technically, they've used the emergency orders to remove all my rights from me, with the threat now of real jail time, not just so-called emergency order fines. I'll have to actually fight real jail time, and they could even arrest me and try not to give me bail. So that's what they've done. Very sinister, very sneaky, very illegal. And that was my final charge. So guess what happened since then? I think you know, but nobody, not too many other people do. Thanks to the Just Say No movement and waking up millions and millions of people around the world and empowering Patriot street fighters all over the world to stand up for their rights, know their rights, and assert their rights, they decided they wanted to shut me up. So I was coming home from the gym on a Friday night, and I trained really late. It was about 12 o'clock. And I drive a white Range Rover. And I was driving a white Range Rover that night, but I wasn't driving mine. I was driving a friend of mine's, because I gave mine to somebody that needed a car for the day. So the police already had something planned for me, but I guess they wanted to make sure it was me driving. So as I was driving home, I got flagged by the OPP, Ontario Provincial Police, which is the equivalent to your state police on the highway. And they pulled me over with three cruisers. And I hadn't done anything wrong, so I was curious. they admitted I hadn't done anything wrong. They said they just pulled me over for an identity check. I was like, okay. So they took my ID, they checked it, they ran everything. They came back 10 minutes later, very courteous and nice. They said, you're completely fine. You're free to go. Sorry for the delay. No charges, no nothing, no fractions. So I went. Now I go back. I got to my house, and I live on 5 acres in a rural area. And in order to get onto my property, I have to get out of the car and open the gate manually. So I'm on my property parked, and I'm about to get out to open the gate. And some random person in plain clothes comes to my door, a window, shining a flashlight. I thought it was a neighbor or something. So I open the window, and he says, I'm Detective so-and-so. Get out of the car. You're under arrest. He didn't even tell me what I'm under arrest for, number one. Number two, I literally just got pulled over 10 minutes ago. If I had a warrant out for my arrest, they would have arrested me then. They wouldn't have told me to go home. So right away, I knew this was not a legal police thing. They had no warrant to be on my property, and they had no warrant to arrest me. They needed two separate warrants. They had zero. So right now, they're trespassing and attempting to kidnap me in the middle of the night off my property without anybody knowing. So I, as a smart person that likes to stand up for myself on top of that, said, there's no way I'm getting out of this car. You cannot arrest me. But the car was off. I couldn't take the window up. So he tried to reach through to grab me. So I jumped to the passenger side, and I jumped out of the car to try to run onto my property. That's when I noticed there was a ton of cops at my house, and I couldn't realize how many at the time. And they tried to grab me. I threw one off and jumped back in the car, shut the doors. Now we're in this stalemate where they keep unlocking the door through the open window, and they're trying to open it on both sides, and I keep having to close the doors and relocking it. And we're going at that for a couple minutes, and finally I jump in the back seat because I'm in a two-door SUV, and I figure this is going to buy me time. Bought me enough time to grab my phone, fire up my Instagram Live. We had like 5,000 people watching live. I told everyone to screen record. I gave out my lawyer's number. I even gave out my address and told everybody to come there. The response from the police, they brought almost 20 cruisers to my house. They blocked off a four-way major intersection on one side, and then they blocked off the entire street on the other side, and then they put about 10 or 12 cars lined up along the frontage of my driveway, which is about 400 feet of frontage. And they had about 30 to 40 police officers on scene, illegally trying to kidnap me without cause, without a warrant, on my property in the middle of the night. 100% political Gestapo, and I'm going to call it out right now. We know for a fact they came from Doug Ford and John Tory, and they're at this moment planning more shit against me. So bring it on, boys, because it's going to come back to you, I promise. So they had all these guys in the car, and at the end of the conversation, at the end of this, they knew that they couldn't do anything to me. They had no authority. Everyone was watching. Enough people showed up to my house that they were going to crush through the roadblocks that they created. So the police got scared and came over to try to make me sign a promise to appear. And I told them I wasn't even going to sign that. And they tried to arrest me now for not signing their promise to appear. So I said I would sign it under duress. And I actually wrote duress on it and gave it back to them and told them to get the fuck off my property. I jumped out of the car. And as I'm jumping out of the car, because I knew they couldn't arrest me at this point, I saw, I'm not even exaggerating, dozens of people, tow trucks, cars, pickup trucks, blaring through the roadblocks down the street right to my driveway, and dozens of Canadian patriots jumping out with fire in their bellies, ready for action. You've never seen police move so fast in your life. Right to their cars, turning tail and running like the cowards they are. It was disgusting. It was amazing for the Patriots. It actually brought tears to my eyes to see that people actually stood up for me and to see that Canada actually has the spirit alive and well. But to see what those police officers were involved in, and if you watch the video, it's some of the most, I would say, it's the most glaring abuse of police power and egregious misuse of police resources caught on video in the history of Canada. And I'm not even exaggerating when I say that. And all they ended up doing was embarrassing the crap out of themselves and waking up so many more Canadians than anybody who watches that once again, this has nothing to do with our safety and everything to do with control.
This is absolutely mind-boggling, dude. I'm telling you, I watched your video. I didn't know the depths of this thing. But right now, I have this unbelievable respect for Canadians. Because I haven't seen nor have I heard anything like what you just described of people, patriots coming to the rescue of a fellow patriot and being willing to bring numbers and force these bastards down, because they know that what they're doing is committing unconstitutional acts against your Charter of Rights. On top of that, because they want to get you in the system, because once they get you inside that building in the system, they can do all kinds of shit that nobody knows about. And that's when they get away with it. Yep. Right there. That's when they get away with it. That's what it's going
to
take.
If they got me that night, who knows what happened to me?
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
So if this doesn't tell you, America and the world, if this doesn't tell you, what do you think that they would be doing if this was unrestrained power? What would you do? What do you think they'd be doing if they had got this ball so far down the field when it came to the certified passport or whatever it's called? What do you think they do then? Here's what they get away with. It's just like an employer will pay you just enough to keep you from leaving, right?
I was about to say that.
They can get away with is what they will do. And they'll keep pushing. Look at Washington, D.C. What have these bastards been doing for 30 years? Since I first stepped into that arena politically. I've been paying attention since Reagan was elected. And I got active 8 years after that. So we're 30 years later. And it's why I have zero faith in the political class, because they've done nothing but get extremely rich and wealthy, fame, what, call it whatever you want. These people's lives have gotten unbelievably better while the middle class in this country has been wiped out. The tax base has been expanded by putting mom to work. So if mom wants to stay home and raise the kids, remember, we were kids, Chris. I'm 56 and we were kids. Hardly any mothers had a job outside of the home because of the economic situation in this country, where the tax rates were, by the time Reagan came, they were, this top marginal tax rate was 72%. So, which he handled quite remarkably, brought it down to 28%. And we had a growth factor that doubled the Internal Revenue Service intake 8 years later. So when it comes to economics, they don't care about economics. They don't understand it. And they sure as hell don't care about it. If they did, then they would still do the same thing they're doing now. But here's the thing. For 30 years, I've watched this bullshit continue. And this is why 1 year ago, when I finally blew my gasket, January of 2020, I'd finally had enough. And what made me have enough was the insanity of everything we saw, BLM, Antifa beating the shit out of people, and actual believers on the left, like voters, liberal voters on the left. This is okay. Why? Because they're doing it on behalf of my team, on behalf of my side. That's okay. So, but when I listen to this onslaught by mainstream media against Trump for 4 years, saying all this absurd shit, pinning on him all the crimes that these bastards have been committing for all this time, and then listening and watching people that I know, that I care about, people I love, that are friends of mine, who have Trump derangement syndrome, who are believers and pick up on this shit and just constantly throwing it out there. I'm like, you know what? I've had enough. I talked to the friends I met at Revolution Radio here, and God bless them. They gave us a platform that we had never had before. And I couldn't do that in politics. Like, you couldn't drag me into that place. You couldn't drag me into any of those positions of power politically, because of my disgust, number one. I know what it is. But they have given me an opportunity here at Revolution Radio to fight this war, to fight it on the airwaves, to reach the people, which we have all over the world. But the simple fact is this, is that there's nothing, in my opinion, that can be done politically. None. Not because they're all liars. Virtually all are liars or scumbags. They'll go along to get along. They'll take the rock star lifestyle. They'll take the money. They'll take the bribes. They'll get them in the pipeline of all this stuff that keeps them at bay. The child satanic ritual abuse, all that stuff that goes on. So for 30 years, I just finally realized that there's only one way to fight these people, and that, and I said this a number of times, I stop allowing my virtues to be used against me, to be measured in my rhetoric, to be kind and accepting of everybody. And what I finally figured out was, through the course of my life, I allowed latitude with a lot of people, virtually anybody. Oh, I just excuse away things that people do. By allowing people to use my virtues of self-restraint and dignity against me, right? And tolerate a lot of shit. Number one, it nearly got me killed, right? And number two, we've nearly lost this nation because of it. And of so course. I said, that's why Patriot Street Fighter came alive. And it was just a tag I had on my Twitter handle when Ron Reed, he handles the Patriot Street Fighter line. When he reached out to me, he said what he said, never talked to him before. We talked for about 10 minutes. He said, I'm telling you, I looked at your profile. He said, you know what? After binge watching your videos for the last 2 days since I saw the one that everybody cut your attention, he goes, it hit me when I saw your... I had Q Patriot Street Fighter. He said, drop the Q. He said, you are the Patriot Street Fighter because of my rhetoric, how I rain down on every scumbag. I don't care if it's a Rothschild piece of shit, if it is a Rockefeller, all these scumbags, the crown families, the British crown, the royal families, the Vatican, all of these murderous Satanists. I was willing to say, here's who these bastards are, and until you understand who they are and you stand up and fight against them, they're going to wipe out half the planet. And not maybe. I don't mean maybe. I mean absolutely. Right now, you just described to our audience exactly how they're doing it and how what they're willing to do. And I said this before for a year now. Here's the thing, and you're proving it. You are a one-man wrecking ball. I've said this before. We outnumber these bastards by the billions. If we stand up to these bastards like you are, we're going to take over the whole planet. There'll be nowhere on the planet. There will be no rock big enough. There'll be no hole deep enough that we couldn't get U.S. Special Operations Forces in there to dig these bastards out, drag them out, and deal with them. Whatever that would be, make them accountable.
Such an example of them that this never happens again for 20 generations.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen too, because what we've learned through the intelligence that the punishment when this is done is going to be so definitive that nobody will ever try anything like this again. And I'm going to say this again. I said this to law enforcement directly, who I have enormous respect for. They have a shitty job right now. They have a very tough job to do. I wouldn't want to do it. Enormous respect. Mad respect. But I will say this to you people in law enforcement out there. You conduct yourself this way and you continue to be those people that are willing to trample on the rights of this country and this constitution. Again, it's like paying the cannibals to eat you last. You're going to get gone. Because once they get control of everybody else, you think you're going to escape their shit? You think, the first people that when these guys get in power in any country or whatever they do, the first people they kill are the ones that help them do it. Why? Because when they realize what they just helped them do and what their overall plan is, they're going to kill every one of those people that helped them do it because they're the ones that are going to be so pissed off. Like you, SOB, they take them out right away before they're a threat. So all you cops out there that decide you want to be on that side of the line, there's two things you're facing. If the other side wins, you're gone. Our side's going to win. You are going to pay that price because nobody will ever forget. Nobody ever, they still haven't forgotten who the Nazis were. You don't escape that anywhere on the planet. If you decided you're going to conduct yourself professionally, going after the citizen you have sworn an oath to protect, a constitution that you have sworn an oath to protect, I guarantee you, as true as I'm sitting here, the citizens of this country will, or Canada or anywhere else, they will not forget who you are.
Definitely not.
Yeah. You think it's tough for some of us out here among the masses of people that are wearing masks, those of us who've refused to? You think the pressure that we might have felt by, I didn't give a shit. I was there to show people this is what freedom is. I was happy to do it. But the ostracization that we saw from other people, you think that was tough? Wait if you were one of the people trying to help take down humanity and see what the life in this world is going to be about. And I want you to understand this. This is just a very clear message that you need to figure out fast. Because at the end of the day, by going down that track, either way, you lose. You police officers who conduct yourself this way, either way, whatever the outcome is, you lose both ways. There's only one way that you win, and that's you fulfill your role, you fulfill your job as you put your hand on that Bible and took an oath too. And everybody else who empowered you to stay in that job by paying your salaries, all the hardworking people out there that you're oppressing while they're trying to just survive and feed their families. And you're disrupting that because you're working for the scumbags and criminals and thug mayors who are enforcing this shit on this on society. Again, here's the thing. Nobody escapes. Nobody walks away from any of this. There will be accountability. Question accountability is, where do you want to stand? There will be accountability.
And I want to touch on what you said about how everything, because this is huge. I want everybody to stare me right in the eyes as I'm saying this. Everything that's happening right now is your fault. You are letting it happen. Nobody is forcing the mask on you. You're putting it on yourself. You're putting it on your kids to go to school, knowing it's hurting them. Why? Because you don't have the balls to stand up to a school principal or a school board when you should be ready to take a bullet for your children. Half of you don't even deserve your children. Everything that's happening right now is because of complacency and cowardice that you pretend is a virtue of compliance. Mm-hmm. Compliance is not a virtue. Following the rules is not a virtue. Following somebody else's rules gets you their result for you, not the result you want for yourself. It's that simple. So if you're not adult enough to discern whether a rule is good for you and your family, then you don't deserve your family. You think it's an accident. I'll put you a perfect example. Toronto, New York, probably the most liberal cities in North America, locked down tighter than anywhere else. Toronto has the longest lockdown in North America. Why? Because we have the weakest, most compliant, pathetic people. You think it's an accident that Florida and Texas, who love their guns and love their freedom, are wide open? No. It's because their governments know if they try to pull what Cuomo's pulling or they try to pull what John Tory and Doug Ford in Toronto are pulling, they probably get shot in the face by the average citizen. Hell, a grandmother in Florida or Texas would walk up and shoot the governor in those situations because they know better. Meanwhile, over here, the rules. We have to follow the rules. No. What are you, children? It's disgusting. And that's why we're locked down. It's because you're pussies. It's that simple.
Just so you know, folks, we're not promoting shooting anybody, governors or otherwise. Yeah, just for the record, any of you guys coming after me, just understand, we just clarified that. This is metaphorical. We got to make sure they're metaphorically speaking, shoot their career, right, in the foot.
No, but we know that Texas has a long history of non-compliance against authority.
Sure, you know.
And that's what they realize, and that's why they're like that, because they're well-armed. It's not an accident they want it. They're trying to disarm Canadians. By 2022, they're trying to get rid of over 2,000 different types of guns. Why? They haven't done that in 200 years. Why are they doing it now?
Yeah, don't give up your guns under any circumstances because the politicians are going to do something that you would shoot them for. That's why they want your guns. That's why they want your guns.
Because they're about to do something to you that they think you're going to shoot them for. Mm-hmm. It's that simple.
Yeah, no doubt.
If you don't believe me, just look around at what's happening.
I've said two places that'll be the last places they actually start to try to seize guns. First, Pennsylvania. That's where I grew up. It's a very rabid deer hunting culture there. On the first day of buck season in Pennsylvania, there's more guns in the Pennsylvania woods than the largest standing army on the planet. There's a million high-powered rifles in that state. A million. Now, and guess what? Everybody's a sniper. Been doing this shit since we were kids, right? Now, here's the thing. How many people do you hear getting shot every year with a million high-powered rifles in the woods of Pennsylvania? Virtually none. You have heart attacks, right? Because people aren't in shape for it. And the same thing. Come to Texas. Good luck. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. They wouldn't start in either place. But getting back to the whole mask or the lockdown bullshit, Governor DeSantis, who is truly a guy, this guy's got balls as big as church bells. I guarantee if you hear him walking, you probably hear him banging. If you watch him walk, you hear him banging together. He's a badass governor. That guy had no lockdown, right? California fully locked down. What are the results? Same.
Exactly.
No difference.
There's absolutely no scientific evidence that lockdowns help.
None. They actually hurt because you take away number one.
Evidence that proves the lockdowns are way worse.
Yeah, they take, first of all, It takes to out herd immunity. You need to be out in the sun. Why do you think? Listen, a friend of mine just said, down in Florida, it was hot and humid. People walking around with masks on. Now you've even heard this virus is killed by UV light and humidity and heat, right? Yet in Florida, there's still some people who are afraid. Even so, no mask mandate. They're walking around with masks on. It's insanity. So you're taking away herd mentality, the assimilation or the production of vitamin D by being out in the sun, UV rays. Here's what they planned on doing. They wanted, when you wear that mask for 6 months, you're reducing your immune function between 17 and 20%. Now, that's if you're an adult. Imagine what pathogens you open yourself up to when you reduce your immune function by that much. That's all part of the plan. Breathing carbon dioxide. You got to be insane to wear these masks every day, breathing that carbon dioxide. Not to mention Judy Mikovits. Dr. Mikovits came on last week, Friday. And she, I saw what is in these paper masks, the same, these fibers that they're just like asbestos, and they cause mesothelioma and two other lung cancer diseases. The masks themselves. I've said this a number of times. This is a global murder machine. Global murder machine to thin the herd, to bring the herd, the population down, so they can easily have their way with us to do what they want, which is easily researchable. And the documentation's out there. Bring us down to 500 million people on the planet, because the cabal powers know.
It's literally written in stone, people.
It's written in stone. They want us down. They want to be us controllable, those numbers they can manage. And that's about all they need to feed the production industrial matrix machine that they own and control, okay, and their steady supply of human beings for adrenochrome that come from the continued breeding of humanity. That's what they're looking for. So anyways, we've got a minute or two. I'll just listen for the music. I'm going to let you go ahead and finish out. Where can we find you? Where can people follow you? I know you're on Instagram. Who are you on Instagram so we can get people connected up to follow you?
It's easy to find me on Instagram. It's Real Chris Sky, and my backup account is Real Chris Sky too. I'm also on Telegram at Real Chris Sky, and I do some exclusive content on there because it's uncensored, and we do discussions on there. I'm on Chris Sky on Twitter, and I'm Chris Sky on Facebook. So it's very easy to contact me all those places. Nice and organized.
Well, here's what I'd like you to do. Once we're done here, if you could send me over a quick email, give me your links. So we can have those. We'll make sure that gets out everywhere so people can follow you. And I got to tell you, man, as soon as I saw that video that was sent over to me by Overwatch, and I was like, this is badass. We're going to introduce him to the United States so the American people can see this is what it takes. Just think, if we had only 10,000 Chris Skies in the United States, this shit's over. That's why I
have to teach everybody to be like me.
Yeah. Absolutely. So any closing parting thoughts, any advice, recommendations beyond what you just given us tonight?
Very simple, everybody. Remember, this is not about your safety. This is about control. That's what you got to get through to people. Take off your mask. They can't do anything to you. Get your people organized. Open your businesses. Do not take the vaccine. Make a Just Say No post. Hashtag Just Say No in the post. Hashtag Just Say No in the caption. It could be a video, a picture, a text, anything. We want to get this going like crazy.
And that's
on Alex Jones.
That's probably about. Yeah, that's it, folks. We got music coming in. Just Say No. We're going to carry this forward. Chris Sky, Canadian Patriot Street Fighter. Thanks for being here, folks. And we'll see you next week. Love y'all. Night.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend.